Should be a glorious day today. Right now, 6-0 our temperature. Have we got a quorum? I guess we can begin the begin. I guess we can get down to the action. 4321101 is my telephone number if you'd like to participate in the goings-on. I feel pretty good. Slept reasonably well. Had a few dreams last night, but other than that, I slept pretty good indeed. Yeah, I heard the voices again last night. The voices! Stop it! Damn it! And the memories of going house to house, searching and destroying. The memories of dead comrades. Fire the hole! It's a hot LZ! Pull up, pull up! It used to happen with Estelle all the time. I remember I'd wake up in a cold sweat screaming, and she'd be slapping me. And sometimes I'd have my hands around her throat. And she'd say, Nino, stop! It's me, Estelle! You were dreaming about the time when the name on your uniform said Grease Minnelli, but everybody knew you as Sergeant Fury! Quang Tree, 1967. I went through a living hell, and to this day I have the psychological scars from a man in combat. But that day that Estelle told me that one day I might kill her during one of my flashbacks, it gave me an idea. It gave me an idea because we were already talking. Excuse me. We were already talking about our divorce. And she'd already caught me philandering a couple of times. I knew if we went to divorce court, she'd get everything. And I'd work so hard for that house, with the pool in the back, and the nice neighborhood. I'd busted my humps for so many years, and to see her get it in a divorce, or have to sell it to give her her half. Well, that's why I was reluctant. But she gave me an idea. If I could have a flashback and kill her, maybe brutally in some way that no normal man would do, I might do time in a mental institution, a year or two. What the hell, I could use the time off. Do my Jack Nicholson impersonation. That was what I'd resolved to do. It had to be done in the bench of a lot of people, too. I wanted everybody to see that I was having a bona fide flashback experience. So we had a big cocktail party. Little did they know, as Estelle was in the kitchen making the dip, I was upstairs loading the clips. Banana clips! I had an Armalite. I was loading it. An Uzi. My M16. I was pinning grenades to my lapels. I wanted those guests to realize that I was a very sick man, so that when I finally disemboweled Estelle with my bayonet, they could testify in court that I was a man beside myself. I waited until everybody was enjoying themselves, till they'd had a couple of drinks. I could hear the little stereo playing downstairs. I could hear the casual conversation as I came walking down the stairs with my face painted black in camouflage fatigues. I stood there. Everyone turned around. I said, the enemy's attacking! Cover the perimeters! Open fire! Firing with one hand, I swang on the chandelier! The guests all took cover. They were diving behind the couches as I blew away everything on the etagere. I opened fire on the pictures on the walls. I blew out our big picture window at the back. Estelle was making a break for it. She was headed out to the pool. My bullets pulled up little chips of the cool decking on the pool. I blew away the diving board. Estelle! Communists! Communists are everywhere! The communists are everywhere! My guests cowered as broken glass flew in all directions. It was wonderful! Suddenly my gun jammed, as they'd been known to do. It was awful. It was awful. I threw it down. I ran for it. I said, there's a commie making a break. There's a commie making a break. And sure enough, I pulled my bayonet out of the scabbard. I could see from my peripheral vision that the guests were all looking. See, my God, he's flashing back. He's flashing back. I ran for Estelle. I grabbed her by the hair. I said, this is one communist that's not going to make it back to the Ho Chi Minh Trail. She just looked me right in the eye and said, Nino, stop it. I know you're faking. I said, faking? I'm not faking. I'm having a bona fide schizoid experience here. She said, you're not having a bona fide anything. You're just trying to kill me to get out of the divorce settlement. I know you're faking. Put the knife down before you do 30 years in jail. I said, how could you tell I'm faking? How could you tell? She said, I noticed as you stood there in the living room blowing everything in sight, you miraculously spared all your bowling trophies on the mantelpiece, didn't you? I said, why? She said, didn't you? You shot everything except your stupid, stinking pride and joy bowling trophies, didn't you? I dropped the knife and I turned around. She said, now you get a grip on yourself in front of our guests, do you hear me? I said, ah! So I composed myself as best I could, and I dried my tears, and I crunched across all the broken glass and walked back into the living room and looked at all the guests looking at me with their faces white with horror, hiding behind the couches and chairs. I said, well, can I freshen anybody's drink? We'll do that a little bit later.